What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Baseball with the Royals, that's where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals, come and watch it with me.
Get warm in Kansas City, it's time for the boys in blue. Bobby, Vinny, Salvy, Massey, Freddie, MJ, Indy, Walker, Reagan's, Lugo, Maddie, Q.
Figured that's in my glove for the third out of the inning, but it just kept going. So Frazier got it up into the breeze.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Play it went.
So that was Denny Matthews there on the call yesterday with the Frazier home run. The Royals win 6-2. They sweep the White Sox and do exactly what we wanted them to do for this weekend series. Just keep beating the worst team in baseball.
That's right.
That's exactly what they did. Three games, three wins. Bring on Texas for four Monday through Thursday for one hell of a series.
But that's what you have to do in sports, right? You're going to face teams that are good than you. You're going to face teams that are better than you. And you're going to have a tough time with those teams. When teams are worse than you in any sport, you keep that losing team losing. And the Royals did exactly what they were supposed to do. And that was beat up on the Chicago White Sox and take a three-game series and sweep a three-game series from the White Sox. Because if you would have given just one of those games back, if you would have lost that game yesterday, the way that yesterday went, you'd be what? Right at 500. You would be right at 500. And then you would be five games behind everybody because everybody won again yesterday. And that's the thing, man.
If you lost yesterday, you'd be 62-61. They're two games up.
That's right. So, yeah, but if going into yesterday's game, they were 62-61.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
62-62. Sorry.
Right. So if you would have lost yesterday, you would have been right at 500, and then you would have been five games back of the Yankees and everybody like that in the wild card because they went on and won yesterday. And so that big swing in the seventh inning was huge for the Royals yesterday, both from a winning the game standpoint, but also maintaining where you are in the standing standpoint as well. And that's what kind of stinks about the hole that they dug themselves, and they play great baseball all season long, and they're still four games back of that wild card. And we'll talk to Vern coming up in about an hour and 20 minutes. I'm interested to see where he feels this team is headed after that great weekend series against the Chicago White Sox. But now you got to keep this momentum rolling, right? Texas is coming in, and I know they won yesterday, but they're not an above 500 team right now. You got to continue to play good baseball and use these three games against the White Sox as momentum, as a confidence boost to say, hey, we got the Rangers now. That's a team we're in a dogfight with. Let's go kick their ass too.
Yeah, just what you're seeing from this team now is like finally what you wanted to see all year long. Mm-hmm. You're seeing hitting, complement pitching, two runs yesterday. I thought Noah Cameron was fine in his start. Wasn't great, but, you know, held it together. And the bats are starting to play a part. And everybody kind of knows what their role is. Like, Michael Garcia has been consistently good. Bobby Wood Jr. has been consistently doing his thing this year with doubles and stolen bases. I think he's got 38 doubles and close to 35 stolen bases. The guy's still raking his way through the lineup. Salvador Perez has been an absolute gem behind home plate.
Look at his numbers right now. If I would have told you Salvy was going to hit about 250, 25 home runs, and 80 RBIs on this season, you would have signed up for that, right?
Yeah.
And that's why with baseball, so many people want to just rush to making these determinations about everybody. And for the first couple of months of the season, Salvy was washed, according to Carrington and Rob. He was in the Kelsey category, and now he's been the catalyst for your team. That's why the beauty of baseball is you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. You'd like to find some consistency, But you can't make these rash decisions all the time about these players because everybody, not just Robin Carrington, my good friend Jim had been texting me for months about Salvi being washed and whatnot. Now he's like, I guess I was wrong about that. He's not washed anymore. That's why you have to let that season kind of play itself out because Salvi's having an unbelievable offensive season right now with those numbers.
Do you think this team's a playoff team?
I do right now. Yeah, I do. I think they're playing good baseball right now. They just got to keep it going. The starting pitching to me has really been the catalyst all season long. And we've talked about it pretty much since April, you know, World Series rotation and minor league offense. Well, the offense is starting to produce better and it's starting to keep you in games. And now you've got, you know, your rotation pitching well right now. That Lugo is a concern. We'll get to him in just one second. But I think with Cameron stepping up the way that he's been pitching lately, Waka's been pitching good for you lately. Like, you've got some starters in there right now that are going to give you an opportunity to win games if you are able to make it into October. I mean, we saw it with the new guys that were acquired too. Those guys have been outstanding for this organization. So I think they've got the horses to do it. They just got to find a way to push through and take that 4-game deficit and change that a little bit. I hate looking at that number 4 constantly sitting right there in front of me in the game's back standings.
Half game behind Cleveland, 4 games behind the Yankees, or as the text line helps us out as a coach, tiebreaker for the Yankees, so technically it's 5.
That's right. Yes, thank you.
But you're blaming Freddie Fermin for Seth Lugo's woes.
Well, I mean, the numbers are the numbers, and Seth Lugo was dominating when he pitched to Freddie Fermin. Listen to these numbers. A 2.12 ERA with Freddie Fermin behind the plate. That's pretty damn good, right? Mm-hmm. With Salvi catching Seth Lugo, he's got a 4.84 ERA, and when this Maley guy catches Seth Lugo, he has a 4.5 ERA. 2+ runs per game difference, two and a half runs per game per game difference with Maley, and almost 3 runs per game difference with Salvador Perez catching him behind the plate. Seth Lugo's going to have to figure out a way to adjust to those two catchers, because if he can't figure it out, then we're kind of screwed going forward. We just gave this gentleman $47 million. He can't just be effective when Freddie Fermin is behind the plate.
Seth Lugo has not pitched more than 6 innings in a start since July 23rd.
I know.
4 innings last start, 4 innings the one before that, 4.2, 5.2, and 6 was the last 5 starts for Seth Lugo. Earned runs in his last 5 starts, 6, 7, 2, 3, 2.
Yeah.
It's been a tough go. 6 hits in 4 innings, 9 hits in 4 innings, 4 hits in 4 innings, 7 and 5 and 2/3, and 4 and 6. His last real great start against the Chicago Cubs on the road when they won 8-4. Now,
and
those
we
fives,
all thought that was his last start for the Royals too. Yeah,
and also in his 5 starts, they are 3-2 as a team. Not necessarily his wins, but yeah, the concerning game on Wednesday against the Washington Nationals, where he gives up the grand slam in the first inning, you're staring down the barrel with 5-0 of a deficit.
Mm-hmm.
You fought back, you still lost, but you were in such a deep hole that it didn't matter how far you fought. Felt like you were just losing the whole game no matter what once that grand slam was hit. I know the end of the first, it was 5-3, but still, if he gives up a 2-run shot, it's 3-2. And you don't have to worry about scoring 7-8 runs in that game. But yeah, it's been a struggle since that started, but...
But you went also and got 2 starting pitchers out of that deal too. And that's what you have to keep in mind. Like Ryan Berger was really, really good over the weekend, right? Like that's a nice pickup. And I would trade Freddie Fermin 10 times for Ryan Berger if we're going to have the opportunity to get the kid to pitch like he's pitched since he's come over here to Kansas City. This one to me is on Seth Lugo. Seth Lugo is the veteran guy. He's the $47 million contract guy out there. He's the guy that looks like your dad coaching you in softball or whatever the case may be, right? Like, he's the one that's got to figure it out. You're throwing to a Hall of Famer in Salvador Perez. It's not up to Salvi to kind of figure this thing out. Seth Lugo has to find a way to get comfortable with somebody other than Fermin behind the plate.
Yeah, tonight it's Michael Walker versus Jack Leiter in Kansas City. That game starts at 6:40, which means Vern's On Deck show starts at 5:30. Vern will join our show in an hour from now. We go to the text line from the 913. Seth Lugo's an aging pitcher who had a couple of good years, should not have paid him.
That same text would have come in had they traded Seth Lugo. I can't believe we traded Seth Lugo. He was our ace.
Coming up on the other side, Max Chief's question. As we are getting closer and closer to the start of the season, plus we get into Max one word here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
There's like certain things that probably work your nerves in life, right? Some people it's chomping ice.
Yeah.
Right? Some people it's, where does whistling rank on nerves being worked?
Not high for me at all. No.
High.
You hate whistling.
Don't like it, probably because I can't do it. But if someone's just whistling, walking around, I'm like, yeah. No.
It bothers you?
That's fine. Like a woo-woo or whatever. Yeah. Like,
but if they're just like whistling while they're...
Like, dude, stop. Yeah, please.
Do people still whistle while they work or is that an old thing?
I don't know.
Thing?
I think that's done.
I whistle when I'm cooking.
Clint was a great whistler.
Was he?
Could whistle, yeah. I think my dad won a whistling contest or a laughing contest when he was a Cub Scout. That's his big claim to fame.
Mm. I love to laugh. Ha, 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 ha. I don't know why it came into my head.
I don't know, but it made me laugh. So like I'm good with that on a Monday morning. Can you do that again, please? And also cut that little thing so we have that for prosperity's sake or whatever they say.
However you want to do it. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. I always wonder, like,
cracking knuckles drives me nuts.
Oh, really? Oh,
drives me up a wall.
I do that quite often. I'm sorry.
I do that a lot.
I mean, but it's just like it's not good for you to do that. And so everybody does it, and it just, the sound just drives me up a wall. Like my wife is always like, crack my back, do this. I'm like, oh God, I can't, like, I don't like that noise.
So I was just always so hammered. I don't remember anybody else drinking.
Yeah.
I hate I think my three most annoyed things are loud eaters.
Mm. Oh man.
Or like the person that, like, if they have a bowl and they're just constantly scraping the bowl. I'm like, stop. You don't need to. Okay. It's already in that part of the bowl. And then the. Like that?
Dude. Oh, yeah.
People who scrape the silverware on their teeth, too.
Oh, I hate that. I can't do that. Now, me and my brother got in some big fights because I was younger. I just didn't know how loud I was eating, or maybe I did, and I was being provoking a little bit. Oh, yeah. Some big fights at the dinner table.
I'd slap you across the face.
Oh, man, he did.
How old were you?
Probably like
8 to 12.
Okay. 8, 10, you probably don't know. Pretty much after that, you kind of know.
Yeah. So you're probably like 10, 11. Yeah, just kind of being like, ah.
Once you hit the double digits, it's like, all right, now you're being a Richard.
I was being a Richard.
Like my mom would let me and my sister chew gum all the time. The first time we blew a bubble, hand out.
Oh, really?
Out.
Oh, I hated
it. See, the bubble was about it was the...
Yeah,
the chewing the gum like a horse.
Yes.
And we were allowed to say that back in the day. I don't know if that's now verboten that you can't tell somebody they sound like a horse chewing gum like that.
I mean, you can barely say,
"Hey, baby, how you doing?"
Yeah, it's true. But I mean, these people, you're chewing like a horse.
Yeah,
identify as a horse. Okay, a horse.
Right.
The horse is like somebody bringing a horse on a plane for like a spirit animal or whatever they have. You know, where you pet it the whole time. What do you call that? With somebody had a peacock.
I'm with this
service
guy.
Animal.
Yeah.
Service animal.
No, not a service animal. Oh, okay. Where you bring like weird animals on the plane and they calm you down.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I thought that was service animal.
Now there's a name for it.
It's like a security blanket.
Yeah. What's the name for that animal that they have out there now? But they don't allow it anymore because I think somebody did legitimately bring a peacock on a plane and they're like, okay, we're done here. We don't need any peacocks on the plane.
I mean, at Jack Stack, we had a service monkey.
I remember you saying that. That's
ate
just
an onion ring and spilled somebody's lemon drop martini.
That's like
the monkey worked at Jack Stack. Was it the same monkey that I saw on that boat down in the Ozarks a couple of weeks ago, which was awesome? It had a life preserver on.
Similar to that, but it was in the restaurant with a guest, and it was her service monkey.
Okay.
No. Nope.
No.
Food here.
Not a chance.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Coffee slurpers.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
slurpers in general. Yeah.
Just let it cool down, Gary.
Yeah.
Or add a little almond milk to it. Emotional support animal.
That's
came
what
in
it was.
Like 50 times.
Yes, emotional support animal.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Yeah,
that is the most one response that we just got.
Holy crap.
But see, I mean, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, my God, I've gone cross-eyed.
Oh, my God.
It's still
going
on. Dude, it's at least 25.
At least they know what I was talking about.
It's called an emotional support animal.
Yeah. This is my peacock. It makes me calm.
I used to have a support animal and emotional. It was my wife. Now I'm divorced and I'm lonely.
All right, have you ever seen Henny Youngman before?
No.
Oh, my God. You would love Henny Youngman jokes from back in the day. Like, very much before
Rodney.
Yeah, before Rodney. Yes, Henny Youngman.
I used to have a service monkey, but I put him out of work. It was in between my legs. Can't get no respect over here. Max Chiefs question, 18 days away from tomorrow. We don't count today. We count.
No, we're 18 days away from Friday.
18 days away from Friday. Yeah.
Friday's the day. 14 will be Friday. Backtrack. Here we go again on a Monday trying to figure this out.
September 5th.
exactly. I've been doing this for 100 days. Been off by a day probably the whole time. Who cares? We're getting close, okay? The Chiefs are almost here. No, don't do that. Don't like that. 18 days. One team in the West. Okay, I've got, well, two parts, separate questions. We'll answer both.
I'm done.
Kiss my ass.
I'm done.
All right. If one team in the West had to be good with the Chiefs, who would you pick?
It's the Raiders for me. It's a better brand than any other team out there, better history out there. And it still feels pretty big time to me, right? I still see the Raiders and I still think it's a big time brand. Chargers don't do that brand for me. Denver's not quite that brand. So if I had to pick like one team to go mano a mano in the division, kind of be that running mate, I would go with the Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, wherever they play,
really
Raiders
time.
Right here. But they are. I mean, they're a national brand.
They
you
are.
Know?
They
they're a national brand.
Did you see how sexy Tom Brady looked at that Al
oh
Davis jacket?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He knew he looked good when he left the house.
I will say this. He's starting to even look like Al Davis. He's starting to get older in the face.
Yeah.
If he puts his sunglasses on a chain, then he really has transformed into full Al Davis. But I saw that face and that white jacket because, as I was telling you guys last week about being in the elevator with Lamar after Raider game,
oh, yeah.
Al Davis would be in there, and he would always be in a white jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he didn't, you know, fart.
Or a shirt.
Yeah, right. And you know, that type of thing. But yeah. Tom Brady with that white jacket on, how many of those did they sell, right? There can't
Seriously.
Be any left. There can't be any left in the team shop. But much like my Scouts jacket. It's white. You wear it one time, it's done.
It's done. Totally. Oh, that's a great jacket, though. I like that one.
Yeah, it is. It is. But that Tom Brady Raiders jacket, my God.
Yeah, it was sexy.
Yeah, you knew he left the house. He's like,
smash.
Whoever Sydney Sweeney is, Kim Kardashian, yeah. whoever in Hollywood wants to hang out with me tonight.
Sofia Vergara.
Yeah.
Must be nice. God, she still got it. She's
sure.
something else, man.
For sure.
I think I would choose, I don't know, because it's been not in my lifetime where the Raiders were actually like threatening. I guess when Rich Gannon had that great year as an MVP quarterback.
2002, Dustin.
Crazy, right? Yeah, 23 years ago.
Yeah.
Because that was like the first Super Bowl second Super Bowl I covered. I remember being there for that. And then Barrett Robbins got lost in Tijuana. I don't know if he ever came back. And then the whole thing went,
I think Rich Gannon never showed up.
Yeah.
And he did for Tampa Bay. John Gruden, must be nice. Kind of an asterisk of a Super Bowl, if you ask me. I'm just saying.
Yeah, for
got to play the team that, you know, he actually used to coach, got to be the spy quarterback all week, knew his tendencies, and then we clearly saw it pay off.
Yep.
Because, five interceptions, the NFL or the Super Bowl MVP was Dexter Jackson.
That's right, who signed a big contract and you never heard from that guy again.
Hey, man, show up at the biggest moments and you'll get paid.
That's exactly right. That's all that matters. There was
not
a guy,
his fault.
Larry Brown for the Cowboys back in the day that guy. Not Michael Irvin, but his running mate at the time. Who the hell was the other wide receiver? Then went to Tampa and never heard from the guy again. Oh man, Irvin and
Joey Galloway.
No, it was that'll come to me eventually.
He played, I think, for Tampa and Dallas. I could be wrong, but I would probably choose the Chargers just because I want to see Jim Harbaugh cry. I want to see the Chargers always be that team. Because, Denver ruined my childhood for about 10 years. Five with Elway from, 96 to 99 until he retired, 98. So there's 3 years. And then when Peyton came to the division.
Alvin Harper.
Nice. Did not know who that was. But then Peyton Manning goes to the Broncos, and it was just 5 years of dying. I don't need to see the Broncos in my life ever again. Raiders, I just don't know if we're ever going to get there. I've given up hope with the Raiders. Vegas isn't working out so far for them as a good. We'll see what Carroll and Geno can do this year. But to have the Chargers be that team where you can go neck and neck every game, because those Chargers games are always fun.
They're amazing.
When they come down to the wire, the Travis Kelce walk-off, the Alex Smith rushing the ball into the end zone and flexing in his final year in Kansas City, that was game one, right? Those are always, to me, the better matchups. And you always seem to have the upper edge. Plus, you know the Chargers are going to get insanely hurt every year. But for them to be good and the Chiefs to be good, I think that's what really sells. I think that's what I like to see, because I don't need to see Denver. I've seen Denver enough be good while the Chiefs were good. Raiders, I just have given up on it, man. Like, my whole life, the Raiders have sucked. Like, it's just not a good – every time players would become a free agent, the Raiders would give them all this money, and then they would die in Oakland, or they would just never be great. And maybe we can see the Chargers actually be decent, but –
You know, Brady's going to get all the credit in the world if this thing turns around in L.A., right? Like, he, no matter what.
Why do you think he's there?
Of course, Like, and he will be looked at. Oh, he turned around the Patriots. He turned around Tampa. And maybe now he's going to turn around the Raiders, potentially, you know, getting invested and involved in that. Why is Pete Carroll wearing receiver gloves all the time? Is that always what he's done? Yeah. I've never noticed that. I guess because I'm paying now, obviously, more attention to Pete Carroll than I ever have before. But receiver gloves? I mean, come on. You look like Mac in the parking lot outside of Ralph's bus.
Hey,
happy 50th, Ralph. Hope you had a great day yesterday, my friend.
Awesome. Oh, damn, he's 50?
Yesterday, awesome, he's over 50 now. He's old. Yeah, he'll be there on the 30th. He's bringing a bottle and a platter.
Oh, will he be there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice. Okay, I'll bring my present for him.
All right.
Also, before we get to one word, what do you trade for Brian Robinson really quickly?
Oh, how they're shopping him around because he's in his
Commanders
third year?
They're shopping him around.
Yeah. I had the theory last night that the Chiefs won't sign Isaiah Pacheco and they'll go sign him as a free agent this offseason or trade for
would
him.
Would love that.
I wouldn't trade for a running back if I'm the Chiefs. I wouldn't trade for Trey Hendrickson if I'm the Chiefs right now.
Well, you could draft a running back in the first round with the 32nd overall pick.
You could, or it's in the 7th round or wherever. I mean, running backs are a dime a dozen. I would give up zero for a running back.
Okay, fair enough. I'd be pretty excited.
I mean, I think he's fine. I mean, clearly he's tough. Dude was shot in the leg and then still played that season. Came out to many men.
Who was the guy with San Francisco last year that was shot in the chest?
He's wide receiver too this year.
I mean, my God.
Sleeper fantasy, by the way.
Yep.
Sleeper
fantasy. Oh, he's going to have a good year.
No Ayuk, no Debo. Yeah. George Kittle going to have a huge
yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
He may be your number one receiver.
There's a chance of that, yes, for sure.
No, I'm high on him. I think I see Ladd McConkey numbers from him this year.
Yeah, I think I don't think he's a sleeper. I'm serious. Think he's going to be a guy that everybody thinks is a sleeper, like all of us that are, you know, like midweek NFL fans. You know, we're going to roll into that draft with our magazine like I would and go, that guy's a sleeper. And there's going to be like 17 other guys who think he's going to go like the third round.
That'd be insane.
That'd be crazy. Yeah.
Brian Thomas Jr., 13th best receiver in fantasy this year, according to some graphs. Like, what are we doing here?
One word.
First name is blank, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. 1, 2, 3.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
Because so much is determined based on who's throwing you the football, Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
New system, new coach, new offense. I don't think it's a knock on the receiver as much as it's a knock on here's the system that we have.
Well, I mean, they just had guys like Rashee Rice ahead of him who's going to miss 10 games this year. So, I mean, I don't know why that, like, Rashee Rice should not be drafted in your first three rounds of football, fantasy football this year.
Because I don't think anybody in fantasy football is like me, like going, 10 games? No way!
Especially the games he's going to miss, like, Rashee Rice does nothing for you this year in fantasy. I know that's a bold take. I mean, that's a very reaction.
That's a very bold take.
Because he's going to be there for 5 weeks.
The most important weeks in fantasy football.
In my opinion. To start off hot, because then bye weeks start. But, like, you're going to miss Rashee Rice for weeks 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Sorry, playoffs start week 14. Yep. So maybe you get him back when the playoffs start.
Yeah, if it's maybe. That long. Yeah.
Maybe. Do you want a rusty receiver being your number one option in the fantasy? Maybe.
They have him ranked as the 6th best wide receiver in fantasy this year.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Production the rankings need to change.
But I don't think they factored in the suspension.
Yeah, the ADP needs to change.
Because, I think everybody in their right mind, at least I consider myself in my right mind, we all would have thought probably a 4-game suspension, right? That's kind of just what it's been.
Yep.
So I everybody thought 6 just, from the shoot.
Everybody just kind of included him in everything because nobody expected the suspension to be that long. And now we're talking potentially, they were talking double-digit suspensions at one point in time. Changes everything.
Take it away, Mac.
Yeah, I talked about him on Fantasy Football Sundays yesterday. We got our show next week, our last pre-draft show. But yeah, I'd still go in on Rice, not third round, but yeah, definitely an enigma for sure. One word on the Royals weekend.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'll go massive. 2 games above 500. You did exactly what you were supposed to do. You're the better competition. You played better. You won all 3. Chicago's already on their flight to wherever they're going. You know they are. Get me out of this season, man. We got 38 games left in baseball this year.
38's a big number, though.
It is.
When you're in it and when you're out of it, it's a big number.
It's like, man, these 38 days are taking forever. When you're in it, you're like, man, we got 38 days left. So it was a massive series this weekend for the Royals.
One word on the Royals series starting tonight.
Continue.
The Rangers.
Okay. Got to continue what you did against the White Sox. Don't give anything back, man. Do not give it back this week against the Rangers, because then you have off. No, you don't have an off day. You have a day game Thursday,
yeah.
And then it's off to Detroit, and you got the Tigers this weekend.
Yeah, you could have, I guess the one word I would say is important, because, again, you're at this point in the season now where two out of four split in this series, nobody gains any ground. But at this point, the Rangers aren't who you worry about. You have jumped them. You are a game and a half ahead of the Rangers. Now you have to compete with Cleveland and New York without playing Cleveland and New York. You don't play Cleveland until September 8th.
You can eliminate the Rangers for all intents and purposes this week with a four-game sweep.
You sure can. Plus, everybody above you is, you know, hanging on by a thread in the wild card, like Seattle, Boston, New York. It's a half game, and dead even against the Cleveland Guardians and the Kansas City Royals on August 7th, 18th.
It is 38 games for the rest of the season. This is a 38-game season. Run to the finish line. Run.
Royals next off day Thursday. They'll go four against the Rangers, four against the Tigers, and then three against the White Sox. One word on Scotty Scheffler yesterday. This is the shot he hit.
Can you believe what you just saw? Bobby Mack can't?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Bobby Mack. Bob and Mack can't. Huh?
Bob and Mack can't believe it.
There's a word I just created that I'm using for this shot.
Love it.
And it's called sluck. It is skill and luck combined. Because while that is skill, there is some luck too.
Yeah, I mean,
sluck.
I'm going to pass on trying to say that out loud. greatness, dude. I mean, Scotty Scheffler just turned 29, okay? 29 years old, and he's doing this. And I think his legacy will always be in the shadow of Tiger Woods because of what Tiger Woods did for so many years and how many majors he won. Scotty, I believe, has three majors, right? But he's 29 years old. Golf, you really start getting into your prime in golf when you're like 35. And Robert McIntyre played some of the best golf I've seen a guy play 3 days in a row. I mean, Friday, he was making putts from 25, 30 feet nonstop. Finished today, five straight birdies, absolutely just chugging sunscreen. And, you know, then you get to Sunday, four-shot lead. I remember time and time and time again where I would watch Tiger Woods on Sunday be down by three or four strokes. And it's like that documentary he did on HBO. And that guy that's doing it saying, some people would say, oh, I want a shot at Tiger on Sunday. And he just responds, goes, the F you do.
Yeah.
Like Scotty Scheffler is putting himself in that category. This is why when you go to DraftKings and see his name at plus 260 to win a tournament on a Thursday morning. And everybody else is plus 1,800, plus 1,500, plus 2,200. Scotty Scheffler playing golf makes you watch it and say, wow, this guy is really, really, really good. His distance is perfect. His touch is perfect. Yes, there was a lot of sluck there from Bob Fesco on that shot, but that was a shot that put him with a two-shot lead on 17. That is plums. That is stones. That is nuts. That is balls. That is cold-blooded killer Scotty Scheffler, and you are everyone who wants to. This is greatness. This is the best golfer in the world, and he might be the best athlete in his field out of any other sport. He's more dominant than Aaron Judge in his sport. He's more dominant than Shohei Ohtani in his sport. He's more dominant than Patrick Mahomes in his sport. He is right now at the top of his sport, far and away better than anybody else in any other sport. I will die on that hill. He's insane to watch. It was Sunday, down by four. Who won? Scotty Scheffler.
Watching Scotty makes you go wow. Watching ESPN makes you go wow. This is Monica McNutt.
Who?
Well, it's a blast for us to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us. All right, so the jersey. Let's get into it, because obviously this ties to one Shador Sanders, who balled out in his first
game. No.
I'm sorry,
I apologize. Very excited.
So that's Drewski. I don't even know, man.
Comedian.
He's a comedian who makes
podcaster.
Videos. Why is he on ESPN? Another conversation. He's
because
on First
Take. It's a crossover. It's ESPN trying to sell this app. They're going to put all these people on.
So he's there.
He's going to put it up, get people involved.
I'm Hop.
Hipper.
Uneducated is the word. Like, I just don't have the patience for the ignorance of that.
He's wearing a Lions Barry Sanders jersey to kind of paint the picture. And she goes, oh, so obviously Shedeur Sanders tie-in. Yeah. And he's like, what the hell?
Yeah, no, it's just very uneducated.
What was her name?
Monica McNutt.
Yeah, I don't have
that
the
patience
for
that. Sounds like a new McFlurry.
Know what happened before you existed on Earth, Monica. I mean, that's just, jeez. I mean, we're not talking about a nondescript player, but no. Again, I mean, why isn't that conversation happening before he goes on set, too?
100%.
You know, hey, I love the Shedeur Sanders. That's not Shedeur, it's Barry. Oh, thank God I didn't say that on the air.
Yeah, dude, it's rough.
I mean, I just don't have the patience for that. I really don't.
Welcome to McDonald's. How can I help you today? Yeah, I'll do the chicken nuggets and the McNutt flurry. Yeah. Excuse me? Yeah. Ice cream machine's down. Well, so am I. Oh, gosh. That's one word here on 96.5 The Fan. 9:30, we'll bring it back. We'll get into more words as we'll do that later today because we got some more topics in there that we want to get to. But coming up on the other side, I'm going to say this. I think we're jumping the shark on Taylor Swift. I'll explain. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Did you see Victor Robles in a minor league stint last night throw his bat at the pitcher?
And all those sunflower seeds. Jeez. Did you not see it?
Oh.
Just go to John Boy Media.
Got hit by a pitch, got pissed off in a rehab stint, so he threw his bat at the pitcher.
Well, I mean, he threw up and in at like 96. And he was not trying to go back on the DL and being AAA.
Yeah, I mean that was a heated reaction. Like I've had those type of I think we all have those type of reactions before, where something happens, you get hurt, and you just like react.
And then he went to the dugout and took the entire thing of sunflower seeds and chucked them onto the field. That's how you get ejected. Because I love seeing Q get ejected on Saturday night, or Friday night, whatever night it was.
I think both of them should have been ejected for that game. That dude going up and in, and then the batter, too.
The umpire, as soon as the guy threw the bat, as soon as Robles threw his bat, the umpire,
you're gone. Yeah, you're out.
As if he needed to.
Oh, the umpire almost tackled him, too.
Oh, yeah. Then the other guy had his bat ready. You should see the other guy. Baseball fights.
Good
the worst.
Moments. Awesome. Love
Hold
it.
Hold me back, bro. I don't want to do it, but I'll do it. Okay, let's not do it. Yeah. Unless you're Amir Garrett. That guy's about it.
Yeah, he is.
Him and Kyle Farnsworth. And what was it, Josh Barrett? Was that the catcher for the Cubs that literally punched A.J. Brzezinski right in the face? One of the greatest moments. Oh, there was also your boy, Ramirez from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Punched Tim Anderson
got
in the
right
jaw.
In the jaw, yeah.
And buckled him.
And what's his name at second base that got up? And
that was Batista and
Odor, Rougned Odor.
Yeah, yeah, hit Batista in the face, knocked his Oakleys off, turned him into Jeebs from Men in Black. So, I think Taylor Swift and that stuff has jumped the shark.
Do you think this is the one where she planted and it's fake now for the first time ever?
No, I just think, I'll play the audio. I
don't think Taylor Swift is actually baking sourdough bread. I think it was an Easter egg. Where is the Super Bowl this year?
You told me during the break, it's in Santa Clara. Yeah. Levi's, where the Niners play.
Who's the Niners mascot?
Sourdough Sam!
Sourdough Sam. She said she's thinking about sourdough 60% of the time. When she's going on and on about sourdough, how much sourdough she's baking, 60% of the time. It's Super Bowl 60 in Levi Stadium, home of
she
sourdough
is gonna do the Super
Sam.
Bowl.
I think she's doing the Super
she
Bowl.
She is going to do the Super Bowl.
I think she's doing it. Okay, there's another one, too. There's another piece of this. She said, specifically, thank you for screaming for 47 seconds for me. 47 seconds could be a connection to her Eras Tour stop at Levi's Stadium was her 47th stop on the Eras Tour.
Where I am with conspiracies. I'm in.
Bob loves it.
Yeah, I'm in. You do too. You're
this
acting like a little kid.
No,
it's
this fun.
Is fun.
This
right.
is fun.
It is absolutely fun.
I don't know if there's any merit to it at all or legitimacy, but this is just fun.
I think
it's also impressive to be able to think of that. And like that's kind of cool.
Well, I don't know what's more impressive. Taylor thinking about all that and weaving it in, or that person picking up
that's
on
what
all
I'm,
of that
yeah,
kind of stuff.
100%. Yeah.
She also loves to drive red cars at 48 miles per hour. You know what 48 is? The next stop for her tour date, which is the 48th state of the United States of America, and she's pregnant because she said she likes 7 pounds and 11 ounces of sourdough bread.
That's right.
Get out of here.
I mean, but
dude.
She, if she wasn't known for the Easter egg game, I don't think it would be that big
that's
a deal.
True, but you now know? You're trying too hard to do it.
Or is she trying too hard? Yeah. But is she really trying too hard? Because I didn't think anything of it, honestly. Of course, I'm not a quote unquote Swifty where I would be thinking that everything has another meaning to it because then you drive yourself absolutely insane. But having somebody else do it for me is kind of fun.
That's the thing. Yeah, I didn't stay up for 12 hours and I like that Charlie Day and It's Always Sunny meme of him like with his hair pulling out with all the, you know, different. I didn't do that. But yeah, it's kind of fun to hear it for a minute.
Right.
And then she said her favorite movie is Ferngully. And you can see this on her first ever concert because she comes out in a green dress that says From the Earth.
That's right. Do you think she's laughing about all of this stuff?
Yes.
Or do you think she's like,
probably.
Yeah. But, I mean, what would happen if the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl and she performs halftime?
That's what I'm saying, man.
Right? Like, would the world break?
The world would explode.
Like, the access would fall apart, right?
Yes.
The world would just tilt over.
She also doesn't have to perform at halftime.
No.
No, that's the other thing. She doesn't need to do any of this. That's why people always say, ooh, Taylor should do halftime. Why? So she could lose money?
No, the people the people who do halftime are has-beens that are going on, like, a new tour or opening a new album. She used the podcast to promote her new album.
Right.
She can literally be like, I'm going on tour and you'll be in a waiting room for 17 hours and it'll falter and it'll do all this stuff. She doesn't have to do that. So all these people that now are going, cause like, that's the thing is this podcast obviously broke the internet, streamed wild, went everywhere. Everybody heard it and they start to think to themselves, okay, I've got to go back and look because there were all these things on the tour where I missed. And yet here we are. And there's new people saying, oh my gosh, she hinted that she's going to be in San Francisco. Guess what the mascot is?
I'm also
Sourdough
not,
Sam.
I'm also not one of these big people who wants to go to something and have to think about ulterior motives for everything too. Like if I watch a movie and then at the end, somebody's like, did you catch that part? I'm like, no, I just kind of enjoyed what was being out there. Like my brain doesn't think that way. I'm not that line of thinking where I'm supposed to be watching this concert or this movie and I'm enjoying it. I don't want to be thinking about what the meaning is or if there is a hidden meaning or is there something hiding here that I'm supposed to be getting, you know?
Did you notice the pause between songs was 10 seconds longer? And that's because...
Yeah. Did you notice she changed the color of her hair to the color of the San Francisco 49ers jerseys and now she's going to play at halftime because she's a San Francisco 49ers fan and she loves San Francisco.
Like, I don't operate that way, but if somebody brings that information to me after it's all said and done, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, all right.
That's kind of interesting, but I don't go in looking for that kind of stuff. I went into the podcast just looking to listen, you know, and then, you know, movies I just go to watch or show it. Like, I don't look for those hidden meanings. And then when they kind of come around at the end, you're like, oh, okay, I get all that. It's kind of cool. But my brain, again, doesn't operate that way. It operates like this, though. Went for a long walk yesterday, right? And I was thinking about, for whatever reason, this Taylor Swift stuff, because I was through her anthology over the weekend. It worked, right? Her podcast worked for me.
Yeah.
I listened to a lot of Taylor music over the weekend. And I'm out yesterday on a no-skip Sunday, just kind of listening to Taylor music play as I'm walking. And I'm thinking to myself about the you know, the stadium and what the Chiefs are ultimately going to do and whatnot. And I'm thinking to myself, Taylor Swift really ought to go in with the Chiefs on this new dome stadium, potentially in Kansas, and make it her stadium as well, where she would just have residency there. And you lived in Tennessee, so you're probably familiar with this. And I went there as a child. Do something like Dollywood. You remember Dollywood in Gatlinburg, Tennessee? It's an amusement park supporting Parton, basically, right? Do that here. Do a Taylor Swiftwood. You know, do a theme park for Taylor Swift out there. Do a Taylor Swift experience out there. Make it the Taylor Swift destination in the United States and also a major, obviously, dome stadium. But, you know, and I was thinking her residency, 6 concerts in May, June, and July, 2 each month or something like that. And if you really want to see Taylor Swift, you've got to come to Kansas City, just like, you know, Adele and people like that do out in Las Vegas where they have residency out there. Why can't Taylor Swift have residency here if the Chiefs and her go in? And then I woke up from my walk and I'm like, hey, I think it's a good idea, but we're looking for ways to grow and get better. You bring Taylor Swift into a potential new dome stadium, have her invest in it, create Taylor Swift World out there and make it all about her and make it the destination for Taylor Swift. Those star bonds are paid off by December.
Yeah.
Because we should have known she's going to date Travis Kelce. She loves burnt ends. She loves Cincinnati. And she talks about Cincinnati in the song August.
That's like horseradish. Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, more power to you. You want to do the Super Bowl? Go to the Super Bowl. All you have to do is ask Jay-Z.
All you have to do is ask Roger Goodell. Like, she could say, hey, I'd like to do the Super Bowl. They'd cancel say anybody. Less.
Hey, I'd like to do the... All right, yeah. Yeah.
They'd cancel the game to let her perform longer.
I wonder if there'd be more prop bets on her than the game.
Oh, it'd be crazy.
Oh, there's a prop bet out there of where she has her first next concert, whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's Kansas City, or whether it's Las Vegas. Those are your three options right now.
If there's anything I got from that podcast, it's that Jason Kelce is clearly dying his beard and hair.
No doubt.
Yeah, that was the first thing I noticed.
Black. Yeah, looked good. He actually looked good that way. A lot of guys dye their beard and they look terrible. It looks like you ran shoe polish through it.
I also think we all talked about Taylor and Taylor and Travis, that part of the podcast, but he was great.
I thought he was fantastic.
Fantastic, straight man, led the way, kind of just play by play, asked great questions, was engaged.
100%.
He's really good at it. That's hard to do.
I thought Jason was brilliant in that podcast. I don't think he gets enough credit for how good he truly was.
He kind of keeps that thing. We know how hard that is because of our business. That's a hard thing to do. So good on him. But I love your Taylor Swift Wood idea. I'm all in.
Taylor Swift Wood, right? Instead of you have Dollywood in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, Taylor Swift Wood in KCK. Seriously, though, I mean,
Did you know that one of her microphones is called Wood?
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
I'm being dead serious.
You're being serious about that?
I didn't know that. That was a picture up of all her microphone names, and one's called Wood.
Oh, that's kind of cool. What are the other names? See, you could see that at Taylor Swift Wood. Yeah. You know, you could see all the different microphones that she used. Do you think
that's an Easter egg?
How big a tourist attraction would that be? It would be the most important tourist attraction we have here in Kansas City.
Be like Disney World. Yes, exactly.
Do you think it would be busier or bigger than Disney World?
Not a chance.
I don't think so either.
Not a chance.
Disney's
worldwide.
Yeah. But so is Taylor Swift, though.
Not for attractions to come see her. She'll go to your country. Disney World goes to Florida and California.
And Paris and Japan and Tokyo.
Could be bigger for a week.
Yeah.
The opening week would be massive.
It'd be huge locally. It would not be huge globally.
I don't know about that.
Nothing's topping Disney World.
I'm not saying it's beating Disney World, but I think it would be a pretty big global attraction. I do.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
She's the most prominent artist in the world.
I mean, if you think about it, like in Memphis, and I know it's not the same, but people, and I know they did a lot more back in the day, but Elvis Presley's house and stuff like that, like those are attractions that people from around the world are interested
in. No doubt.
Taylor Swift, that next step.
I mean, that's how we get the flights to Europe. I mean, and I'm being serious about that. We would get a nonstop flight to Europe if Taylor Swift would have opened here and people were flying over and wanted to see that. It's bigger than the NFL. It's bigger than Major League Baseball. It's bigger than anything if they were to do something like that. That's the way you get it done if you're the Chiefs. You call Taylor and you go, hey, why don't you kick in a couple of bucks, build Taylor Swift Wood out here, make it an international destination for everybody, and kick in a couple of million bucks for the stadium. We'll call it a day, and you can have residency.
I'm in.
To all you grouchy asses out there on the text line, we switch from Taylor.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Swift, we go to college football because they're just going to, speaking of jumping the shark, they're going to jump the shark here on this college football expansion here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.